All right, and welcome to another episode of The Devil Wears Rossonero, the official podcast of SB Nation's AC Milan Offside. I'm your host, Patrick Stoll, at Stoll_P, and of course you can follow the site account at SBN Rossonero. Tim is off for the week because his computer's battery decided to say sayonara, so I am solo this week, just me. A lot of things to talk about today. Want to just crank through a couple topics here, considering it is not an international break, and Milan does have some big things going on and a couple other big deals in the world of soccer as well. First off, I want to talk Napoli. The Napoli game, the 1-1 draw. Milan frankly played better than Napoli. However, I can see how a point is an absolutely fair result. But the big topic coming out of that game is Jack Bonaventura. That man, I am so glad that he is back. He scored against Napoli again. He made a difference every time he touched the ball. He is a definite improvement over Çalhanoğlu. Every time a pass was made, he got open. Every time he needed to make a pass, he actually made the pass. And oh, by the way, yet again, here we are. He scored against Napoli. That's a big deal. Getting Bonaventura back is a huge, huge, huge step for this team. Because if he can keep performing and recovering, because, I mean, he just got back, but what we need is for him to keep doing what he did. He needs to be able to step up and fill the complete void that AC Milan has had this season. That is on the field leadership, that is off the field leadership, and that is on the field performance. And the performance was good. He was our man of the match, I think, without a doubt. I know our manager, Mookie, who wrote a little bit of the recap for and takeaways articles relating to the game that I read after the game. Bonaventura was man of the match. And I don't think that's very debatable. Goal scorer, absolutely dynamic in the midfield, covering for those around him, passing, running, moving. Like, that's something that we've lacked from AC Milan recently. The amount of movement, right? So you'll see it sometimes, and it drives me up a wall, when I've seen Milan get to the edge of the box or a couple yards out from that, and they'll pass it back, and they'll pass it back, and then all of a sudden Donnarumma has it. And I understand resetting the offense is like a basketball or hockey kind of thing. But I understand resetting. All right, get out of there. Try again. You know, we'll go again. I get that. But what I see from Milan far too much is X player has the ball looking around for a critical pass or a chance or an assist or movement, and people are just standing there. It happens a lot in our midfield. And this is something Tim and I have been harping on for weeks and months and years, frankly, is that our midfield just ends up so stagnant. And Bonaventura is going to be a big help to prevent that. I'm looking forward to seeing more of him, and I think he's earned his place in the lineup, quite frankly. Someone who has played himself out of the lineup, and I said it weeks ago that I was done with this dude, but here we are again. Lucas Bilia. Lucas Bilia is not good. I don't know what it is that we see in him. I get the field general passing thing. I understand. But his defense and his movement is just so shocking. He can't like, he gets beat because he can't run anymore, and then he can't cover because he can't run anymore. And if you're expecting your number six, your defensive midfielder, your anchor, because that's basically what he does, your regista, your rock, he needs to be able to get back and forth. He can't. And I don't understand. I picked my breakout player this season to be Bennacer. That was for a reason. Bennacer is good. I know he's had a couple off games, but I haven't seen an on game from Belia in a while. I see Bennacer, he makes the impact on the game. He gets forward, he gets back. He passes, he receives. He moves, he remains. He looks, he sees, he visions. And I know that it sounds just like a bunch of words, right? But the fact that on offense and defense, moving and passing, receiving, etc., all the pieces of the midfield that you want and you need in a player and in a system, he has. It works. So why change that? By now, I feel like we should know this, and I feel like the manager should know this too. Bennacer needs to start. Absolutely needs to start. I don't want to see Bailey anymore. I understand that, you know, you can't play the same players every single time. And I know that Bennacer wasn't available for Napoli. But oh my God, I cannot see Bailey anymore. I need Bennacer every single time he is available. Now, there's Bonaventura and there's Bennacer. One thing I do want to get into, though, real quick. I don't know what happened those last 10 minutes. I have no idea. It was a home game. You're tied 1-1. And all of a sudden, that, you know, the cosmic shift that happens or seems to happen in AC Milan games where they just completely lose the ability to do anything but hopefully not get scored on? You know when AC Milan start playing and you look and you watch and you say, this looks like a team that's about to get scored on. That was the 10 minutes. That was the last 10 minutes. Because, oh my God, couldn't get the ball forward. Barely could clear the ball. Every single time they managed to prevent Napoli from scoring, which they could have multiple times. And I get that the defense stood, like it worked. It was okay. But They couldn't get forward at all. They couldn't move it. They couldn't take advantage of the fact that Napoli were coming at them. And since they couldn't take advantage of that, Napoli said, all right, this is what we're going to do. And you know what? We're going to get a goal out of this. And they almost did. It was shocking. And it happens for 10 or 15 minutes every game. I know. They just go into ghost mode, going ghost, as they say. As some people would say, I just don't understand. And there needs to be something. I don't know what switch we have to pull here. Is there not a plan? Is there a system issue? Are players fatigued? Are they expected to do it on their own? Are they told to park the bus? Are they told to scramble a result? Are they told to fudge it? But I don't know. I mean, it was peak, like, cosmic shift, turn the TV off football. And I don't know where it comes from. I don't know, is it coach? Is it player? Is it fitness? Is it ability? Is it mentality? Is it instruction? Like, are they being asked for that? So I don't know the answer to that. But a 1-1 draw with Napoli, all together, right? I'm not trying just to be negative here. A 1-1 draw with Napoli is pretty good. Because, in all honesty, our team doesn't sniff Napoli's team. And I know this isn't the sorry Napoli that finished second and pushed Juventus all year long. But, I mean, we're not Napoli's level. And I also know the mess that Napoli have been going through. But our team doesn't approach Napoli, I don't think, in terms of quality and players on the pitch. They have a better coach than us, or manager. They have better players up and down the field. And that's just the way that's just the team. I don't know how we got so... Honestly, a draw works just fine. We will take that point and we will go ahead and move on. But one thing that I cannot get over is Piontek's bad season. Because what he is going through right now is an absolute slump. And we thought that last season he would be the guy to stick around for us for a while. And now he's being linked to Atletico Madrid. He's gone completely ghosting on us. He has no confidence at all. He, you know, I understand that he has some redeeming qualities and moments. And you can tell the guy wants it. And you can tell the guy's trying. But he needs a goal. That's what the guy's here for. That's why we got him. That's what he did at the end of last season. And I understand the coaching change. I understand, you know, the coaching change over the summer and the coaching change recently. But we need him to start scoring. I'm not saying score 25, right? But he needs to be reliable. That's why we got him. And it's just so disappointing recently because it seems like he can't hit the broadside of a barn. And that's unfortunate because I like the guy. But he needs to step up for us ASAP. Because otherwise, I frankly, without a good Bonaventura, a good Benacer, and a successful striker, whether that is Piontek or Liao, we're not going to win. Because what we have is we have a reliable goalkeeper who admittedly is having not the best season, but Donnarumma is the least of our issues right now. We have a solid center back situation primarily because of Romagnoli. Our outside backs are question marks, mostly in their play, because thank God Ricardo Rodriguez isn't seeing much of the field anymore. So we have Teo Hernandez, and then Conte. I'm still not great on Conte. And then there's Calabria. Question marks. I'm more of a fan of Teo Hernandez. More on that in a second. But outside back remains a question. Bonaventura, Paquetá, Benacer, without those three clicking alongside our striker, whoever that is, because we know that the two of them, being Liao and Piontek, have talent. We need them to step up. And I'm applying it to Liao too. Because he is in that same boat. And I'm applying it to Paquetá too, because sometimes it's just, I don't know. It's weird. Like, he was fine. He's fine when he's with the ball, but sometimes without the ball, I'm not sure what's going on. And later in the game, Paquetá doesn't always seem to have it switched on. But I don't know. Maybe that's just a form thing. Maybe that's just him acclimating. I'm not sure. But we'll take a 1-1 draw with Napoli. Thank heavens that we got the win against Parma. Because, oh my God, that was one of the games where the ball just was not going in the net. All right, Milan played so much better than Parma did. And it was one of those games where if it was a game of FIFA, I would have shattered my controller. Because I have no idea how we only got one goal out of that. But, you know, what's new, right? That is the luck of modern day AC Milan. Just absolute tough goings almost every day. So, I don't see it with Andrea Conti. I do not see it. He's a ghost, and he doesn't do much positive. He doesn't really take players on, and he doesn't contribute offensively. He's very much a ghost, frequently. So I don't know what more we can say about Andrea Conti. I like Calabria better. I don't know why we're still... I don't know why we're doing it every single time, right? Like, how many times do we have to go over that Conti is not the best player at his position at AC Milan? Just like when we all had the realization, right, that Ricardo Rodriguez is not better. Is not the best player at his position. For a little bit, he was, because that's all we had. Because we're not playing Barini there. You know, our backup center back, Fabio Barini. But now that Teo Hernandez is in there, we can fully say that he is the better player. As for a little bit more Parma... you know, it was good to see Bennacer back. He clearly is comfortable in that spot. It's natural for him. It just needs to start coming together a little more for him. That's okay. And then, you know, you get to the front three. And by the way, more on Teo Hernandez in a second. Thank God that someone decided to score, because the three in the attack and Bonaventura had such a good game creating opportunities to score, but none of them could pull it off. It was like it was a game of who could score the least over 90 minutes, right? So, you know, between Suso, Piontek, and Calhanoglu, and let's just ignore Calhanoglu because I think we're all kind of on the same page that we're done with him. Piontek, first of all, looked sharp, minus a goal, in the first half. And then he was a ghost for the next 15 minutes of the game and got subbed off. And again, the enigma of Christoph Piontek. What are we going to do? Again, he's linked with a move away. I'm not sure I want to see him go. We've actually seen concrete results in this league and for this team from Christoph Piontek, unlike Andre Silva, right? So it seems like he has a little bit where you think he's going to trend up, where you think he's going to come back, and it's like, all right, this is where it starts. And then he just hides and just comes back into his shell and turtles again, and just, he's gone, right? Suso, Suso is Suso. I feel like Suso is almost the most consistent, one of the most, I don't want to put myself in a hole here, one of the most consistent players on Milan that almost every game, you know, minus some, because, you know, Bennacer had a couple shockers earlier in terms of individual mistakes. Suso has a very similar game a lot of the time. So, I'm so glad that Teo Hernandez was actually able to score. You see what he has, but, and I am, right now I'm looking at player ratings, written after the match, by one of our esteemed AC Milan offside writers. And one of his points about Teo Hernandez that I wanted to make sure to mention is, this is a quote, you can check out our work, acmilan.theoffside.com, at SBN Rossonero on Twitter. "The kid is obviously talented, but I'm not sure where he's gotten the idea that he has the green light to shoot from outside the box so much." Yeah. I don't know why, and this happens with so many Milan players, and it happens in so many games, and I just don't get it, where they either create some chances and don't succeed, or they're working on creating chances, but they're getting frustrated, or they're struggling to break them down, a la first half against Inter, and then they just start rifling shots from 25 yards, 30 yards. Suso does this a lot. Paquetá started doing it, and now Teo Hernandez is doing it, where they'll just kind of like, they'll do the like double take thing, they'll look at the goal, they'll look at the ball, they'll look around them, they'll look at the goal, look at the ball, and then they'll just fire it off, and they miss. All right, Teo Hernandez's goal didn't come from a shot that like outside of the box. These goals, we have a striker who's like a box specialist, like a poacher. That's Piontek. He's not an outside shooter. He's not a center forward per se. You know, if we're talking like strict positions, right? He's not a center forward. He's a striker. He's going to be in the box. You get it to him in the box. Head, foot, whatever. He'll get it in the goal. Allegedly. Teo Hernandez needs to recognize his role in the offense and his role on the pitch is not to go up, stay up. And it's not to go and just shoot the lights out. He's good going forward, and I like him. And he adds to our attack. He gets the ball forward. He creates chances. He creates space. He draws defenders. Positives. His goal was from a rebound. But he needs to not be shooting these shots that just end our plays. And the last take from the Parma game is, I'm done with Çalhanoğlu. That guy sucks. I'm completely done with this dude. I can't stand him. I wanted to stick up for him for so long, and I just cannot do it anymore. This guy is a mess. Absolute disaster. Invisible in defense. Ball hog. I don't know how you can be invisible and a ball hog, but he somehow pulls that off. On offense, ghost when it comes to attacking, like actual thing, you know, everything important in a game, he's just like bloop, just like that, and I don't get it. So I'm done with him. Whatever it takes, get him off the field. We've been very pro Paquetá and very anti Çalhanoğlu on this pod so far this season, for good reason. And every time I see him, I just think, wow, this is a disaster. Like, this guy's got to get the hell out of here. So those are my takes on our last two games. 4 points over the last two games. Solid. Not great. You know, could have used six. But we'll take the four. We will take what we can get because we're not getting a whole lot. And we're going to move on with our lives. All right? On to the next one, as they say. We're in 11th place. 11th. 14 games into the season. We have 17 points. You know who the league leaders currently have? Or who the current league leaders are and what they have? The current league leaders, as of recording, are Inter.
No, God!
No, God.
No, God!
No, God,
please,
no.
No!
Second place being Juventus.
No!
Also, no, God, please, no.
No, God,
but
please, no!
Inter have 38 points through 15 matches. They have one loss. We have 5 wins, 2 draws, same number as Inter, 2 draws, same number as Inter, 7 losses. Pick it up. Figure it out. It's so hard watching us go up against teams that we know we should beat, a la Parma, Udinese, etc., and lose, and then go up against clearly better teams, have a little bit of promise, and still lose. Really, really rough time. As predicted, the Lazio and Juventus games, I know we talked about this on the last episode, Lazio, Juventus games, both losses. Come out with a point against Napoli. Okay, not great. But I guess we'll take it. Win against Parma. We move on. Next up, Bologna. Followed by Sassuolo. Followed by Atalanta. Those are the rest of the fixtures in the month of December. And I mean, knowing AC Milan, we're probably going to get like 2 points out of those matches. Or less. I want to say that's 3. I'd love to say that's 3 wins. It's not. I don't think we're beating 6th place Atalanta. And then there's Sassuolo and Bologna. Guess who's right behind us on the table? Bologna. 16 points. Guess who's 2 spots behind them? Sassuolo. So right now we're playing other teams of our caliber. And all that said, we're 3 points off of Napoli, who are in 7th. Napoli are in 7th. All right. 3 points off of them. And a total of 8 points off of 6th. Exclamation point. 11 points off of 5th. And prediction of Champions League? Who had a prediction of Champions League? I did. You know what place we're, or how many points behind we are? 12. So that's not looking so hot. You know, breaking news on the pod. Not so hot in terms of our Champions League race. Shocker. So, that's our standings update. That's our games update. Couple quick things I want to hit before I wrap up. Again, Patrick Stoll with you, at Stoll underscore P, at SBN Rossinero, and my co-host Tim, whose computer battery decided to take its trip to Narnia and leave forever. So, let's talk Ibrahimovic. Because we need to. Because allegedly, he could come back. So, I feel like my take might be a little bit unpopular here. Would take him in a heartbeat. Absolutely. He 100% would improve our team. 100%. I know he's old. I know that he has injury history. I know he's coming from MLS. From, by the way, electrocuting MLS, by the way. All signs seem to point towards Zlatan coming back to AC Milan. There are reports that we've talked to Raiola. Zlatan has his quote. You can't really believe anything he says because he had that, like, Spain, welcome. I am coming to Spain, which was not true at all. It was just an advertisement. But his quote was, I will go to a team that needs to start winning again, that needs to renew its history. I'll see you soon in Italy. Yeah, who's that sound like? That it couldn't be more obvious that. And oh, by the way, he already played for us. And we kind of have an underperforming striker right now. And we haven't won anything in ages. And we need to get back to winning while we even have a shred of relevancy. Because we're getting crushed out here. And who has a better mentality than Zlatan Ibrahimovic? That dude is dynamite. That dude will absolutely kill it if given the opportunity. I'm not saying he's going to come in and score 28 goals. That's not what I'm saying. But I'd obviously take him. I think it's a very low-risk, high-reward thing. Like when Manchester United took him. Of course. Yeah, he's a big name. He's a big personality. But you think that some of these guys are going to slack off and then come into the locker room and not get manhandled by Zlatan? The dude is an absolute terminator. I like Zlatan a lot. He would energize the hell out of this team. I would take him in a heartbeat. And I know that's unpopular. I get it. He's coming from MLS. All right, fine. He's injury history. I get it. He's old. I get it. He doesn't need to start and come off as a sub. He can make whatever impact he can. Why not take a chance? Why not take a flyer on a Zlatan impact? Why not? There's no downside. What? He flops? He doesn't do anything? I don't think so. And you know what? If he doesn't do anything, he signed a backup striker for, you know, a pretty penny, and you move on. All right. Next. That's fine. I think. One take that I want to definitely get out here is about this this Corriere dello Sport headline, which was absolutely shocking. For those of you that didn't see it, ahead of the Inter-Roma matchup today, the newspaper, Corriere dello Sport, had a picture of Romelu Lukaku, Inter striker, and Chris Smalling, Roma defender. And basically, so the top part reads, Lukaku and Smalling, ex-teammates at United, and today, players of Inter and Roma, so highlighting that they used to play for United together, and then it says Black Friday, because both players are black. What is wrong with you people? Like, what is wrong? Like, how does this happen? Editors looked at that. Also, Black Friday That's the only thing on this entire thing that's in English. This is ridiculous. This is clearly racist. And AC Milan and Roma took a stand in response to this, banning them from the, banning them from the training facilities, and they will not carry out any media activities with them until January. And the ban won't be any longer because the content of the article tried to discuss issues of racism, but the title was terrible. Yeah, that title sucks. That's really not great. And it was a shocking headline, and I'm glad that AC Milan took this stand. We've been on the racism thing before. Racism sucks. If you're a racist, you suck. And you should stop being racist and stop sucking. That's pretty much it. It's not a hard concept. Don't be racist. Don't be a bad human being. That's really it. And I don't know how many people this got past before it got published, but that is really, really crappy. Thankfully, it was almost entirely panned from what I saw. And even though Corriere dello Sport decided not to back down and said, basically, I'm not racist, you're racist, for calling me racist, which I have seen from others on social media, you know, say something pretty shocking or with racist undertones at the very least, and the response is, hey, this is racist. Like, this isn't good. And then people proceed to say, well, no, I'm not racist. You guys are the racist ones for calling me racist. I don't think that's how it works. So I'm glad that Milan took this stand. It's a small step, but it's a positive step. So good for them. Just want to mention that. The last thing I want to mention, and it needs to be brought up because of the profile of what happened. Maurizio Pochettino fired as manager of Tottenham Hotspur. In comes Jose Mourinho. Couple quick points. One, Tottenham fell flat. They clearly, I think they just ran out of gas. The Pochettino project ran its course. He brought them to a Champions League final. And it was a terrible Champions League final because the penalty was conceded so early. He brought them there anyway. He got them second place in the Leicester year. He guided them through the spending of a new stadium. He dealt with adding so few new players. Good for Maurizio Pochettino. But the team fell flat. Fired. Next day, pretty much, Jose's in. Jose is not the kind of manager that you appoint on an interim basis or without talking to him ahead of time. They knew. They were talking to him already. They pulled the trigger. You hire him. In you go. Installed. He's the manager. There you go. Jose, even though he took a year off, which, you know, do what you have to do. Good for him for taking the year off, doing some punditry, saying just really intelligent things in his punditry that I really enjoyed. The guy's a proven winner. I think he's great content. I think he's a great listen. I think he's smart. I don't personally like him because of Inter, but he is a hell of a character, and he's larger than life. He's a proven winner. We know what he can do. And hiring him, in my mind, he is one of these managers that when you hire him, you know that he is going to win something. Might not be the Champions League. Might not be the league. Manchester United. But he'll win you something. FA Cup, League Cup, Europa League. He's in the Champions League with Tottenham again. Who knows? Jose Mourinho is the level of manager that AC Milan should aspire to have. And Maurizio Pochettino is a level of manager that AC Milan would be lucky to have. Pochettino is brilliant. He's a really good manager. I know he didn't win anything at Spurs, but I think there's something deeper there. I'm a Pochettino fan, even though he kind of greased up the wheel of excuses pretty regularly because he would mention the Champions League final like every single press conference. We know. I got it. I like Pochettino. And frankly, sign me up. Pochettino to AC Milan. I think we counted out the Jose Mourinho thing way too quickly. Because I know people are like, hey, what about Jose Mourinho? And people, including myself, were like, oh, God, no, not Jose. We would have been lucky to have Jose Mourinho. We would have. And we would be extremely lucky to have Maurizio Pochettino. That's the kind of manager we need. I know that the whole like long-term manager thing doesn't exactly happen anymore, but he's the kind of guy that can lead a club for a long time. He showed it. That's what he did. Tottenham is Tottenham now because of Maurizio Pochettino. Deserves a lot of credit for that. So, good job to Pochettino doing what he did. Mourinho at Tottenham, I'm sure we're going to see him win something. I don't know what he's going to win. He's going to win something. And I'll be interested to see what Jose does. We would have been lucky to have Jose, and I guarantee you, we would be extremely lucky to have Pochettino. We're not going to get Pochettino. We're not. But that profile is what we need. And that kind of management is what we should look for. So I need to address that. I think it's really, really important. And I think that they either one of them would have been a great addition to the team. Obviously, I know our current state, but I think the club and the name, the badge, the history, I think it carries enough weight that we can still dream about stuff like that. And we can dream about getting back to where the club feels it should be. So, on that note, thank you for listening to the Devil Wears Rossonero, the official podcast of the AC Milan Offside. Riding solo today, Patrick Stoll at Stoll_P at SBN Rossonero and at T Fontenot DWR, in case you would like to follow my co-host Tim. We will be back sooner rather than later. We'll be back talk about the Bologna game and much more in the life of AC Milan. Thanks a lot for listening. For Tim, who wasn't here, but I love him anyway. For Tim, for the staff of the AC Milan Offside, I'm Patrick. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll see you next time.